July 27th, 2005, item number 68. Today's guests are Derek and Swoopy from Skepticality.
Podcast411.com. Listen different.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 Podcast. Before we get into the interview with Derek and Swoopy, a couple quick news and notes, and actually probably just one quick news and note, and that is the in-laws just left. So this is going up a little bit later and getting finished a little bit later than I originally planned on Wednesday, but you're hearing it now. It's out, it's done, and they are on their way back home. Quick note on this interview with Derek and Swoopy. This was a longer interview, editing it down. I found a lot of good information. I really didn't want to just cut like I normally do and leave it on the floor. But rather than give you a 40-minute podcast, what I decided to do is you're going to have 15 minutes like a normal interview here. Then if you'd like to hear an additional 22 minutes of interview with Derek and Swoopy that I cut out of the interview, you can go over to Podcast 411, click on the show notes, and in the show notes I'll have a link to bonus material, and you can listen to an additional 22 minutes and 22 seconds of podcast that was cut from the interview. Well, here is this interview on the RSS feed. Here we go. Derek and Swoopy, welcome to the show.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Okay. Question number one. What was your first computer? Out to both of you.
Oh.
You can go first if you want.
Sure. Let's see. I don't think the Odyssey machine that we had when I was little counts, but my first computer that I really used, that I learned programming on and everything, was a good old Commodore 64. That was it. It was Commodore 64. I was in the fourth or fifth grade. That's when the nerdism started, I guess.
Mine is a bit strange.
Everything with you is strange.
Well, why are we not surprised?
No.
My father used to do security programming for Burroughs, which made banking computers back in the day. And it was pre-cusp of the PC being a commonplace in people's houses. So the first machine that I learned how to program and use on a regular basis was a B20, which is a mainframe, because it was in our garage. My dad taught me how to program on it.
That will probably be the only time that one gets mentioned.
But my first official, it was normal, you know, purchased at the store computer, because my dad was a computer freak when I was a kid as well, was a PET 20.
Well, let's talk about your first podcast. What was the first podcast you guys listened to?
My first podcast was that I listened to, and they were actually internet radio before they were a podcast per se, was Whole Wheat Radio.
Okay.
With Jim and Esther. Mm-hmm. And they live in Talkeetna, Alaska. And they're just really awesome. I mean, they play a lot of music now, and mostly because they're in Alaska now that it's summertime, they're not doing a lot of their sit-down chat show, which is the Daily Muffin Rant and Rave.
Did they ever find the dog they were watching and ran away?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
Because they never really mentioned that afterwards. You know?
Yeah, I think they just wanted to not think about it anymore.
Because I used to listen to them, too, back. That was one of the early ones I used to listen to.
Yeah, I still love it. And, in fact, Derek said that there's a new one, and I haven't looked.
Yeah, they just came out with a couple, I guess. I haven't listened to their new ones. They came out while we were up north.
So. I need new muffin.
Let's see. My first podcast was kind of interesting. Because we do, when we say the tongue-in-cheek, you know, brought to you from Bat Big Studios. Actually, Bat Big Studios precursed our podcast. It was the name of our studios that we do for, like, video production, because we do on the side. We do a lot of, like, video production type stuff. I was on the Creative Cow website, which is a website for people that do a lot of work with like Photoshop and video editing equipment like Final Cut Pro and all. And somebody pointed out a show called The Point with Paul Fignani. It was a podcast, basically, of just nothing but stuff about Final Cut Pro and audio production. And Paul's actually one of the guys that does production work for IT Conversations. One thing led to another. You know, I started listening to his show, and I was downloading them by hand. And, of course, then I said, well, let me go out and get one of these aggregators so I can, you know, make this a little more automatic. And then I started listening to people like the DV guys. So it was mainly all industry stuff when I first started. And then I noticed that Whole Wheat podcasted their radio show, which was used to just be a live kind of radio broadcast, like on 357 Live type stuff, which just kind of landslid from there. So, because I used to be in radio, so I said, oh, let me do this.
See, we have to divulge, I don't even own an iPod, but Derek has one, and he had it since way back last fall, and you weren't even, really, like, using it. No, and now you can't go anywhere without it. It's in the car. It's like attached to you permanently, like a feed bag.
Yeah, I got an iPod photo from a client as a gift.
That's a nice gift.
Yeah, you know, I got it. It was like when the iPod photo first came out. Mm-hmm. So it was like the 60 gig, really nice little iPod photo. And I kind of like put music on it and said, look at my pictures. You know, it was really kind of like, it was more of a novelty at the time. And
well, yeah, I think I was a little more excited about it than you was. It's like, oh, everybody's got one of these. And now you've got one and I can play with it. And it's so pretty. And look at how cool the packaging is. And then we didn't do anything with it for a while.
Yeah.
It just kind of sat there.
And then I started listening to the Paul Show and stuff. And so, you know, I just kind of slid and got gobbled up into the podcasting world.
Yeah, then it all started.
Before we get too far in, let's explain to my listeners what your show is about, the premise of your show, what you're trying to do with your show.
Okay. What are we trying to do with our show?
Well, if you've ever seen Penn and Teller's Bullshit on Showtime, we're basically like that, but we're not as gonzo. We're not going for the...
Oh, we are.
We're not, you know,
we're so gonzo. We're so out there.
We're not going for the belly laugh on every single take. We're not using the foul language as like a way to get laughs. Not that there's anything wrong with what Penn and Teller do. I actually really enjoy their show. But the difference is that when you have to be funny all the time, I think a lot gets lost in the translation. And that happens a lot. With their show, you know, because they're always looking for the joke sometimes. They're looking for the joke more than...
Well, because actually a lot of these subjects are so deep and so heavy and so disturbing and so frightening that I think the only way that a lot of people would tolerate it is with the humor.
Yeah.
I mean, especially in a visual standpoint, and besides which they're magicians, so they can pull that off. We can't do magic on a podcast.
And
exactly.
Now that we've not even answered your question, other than made a reference to a show that a lot of people may not have watched, what we do on the show is we like to talk about misconceptions, be it historical, urban legend type stuff, or things through history that people take for granted, like, you know, did Washington really cut down a cherry tree? Well, that's a pretty simplistic version of a historical misconception. And then there's modern day misconceptions like the misuse of statistics or things like divining or medium, you know, like the television show Medium. There's a lot of people that believe stuff like that. In fact, we're going to have a show about that soon. You know, things like bad, you know, alternative medicine issues, you know, things that people don't like take a look at.
Bad monkeys.
Yeah, monkey news. And then we also get into a little bit into critical thinking. And critical thinking is
I think we're a lot into critical thinking.
Probably where people have like the most issue with, because you get into that gray area of folks that really latch on to some traditional ideals, but we like to talk about them in the completely logical critical thinking manner, which sometimes disturbs people a little bit. But I think that really at the end of the day, what we try to do with our show is push a lot of facts from the scientific community and history out into conversation. So even if you choose not to accept it, it's out there for conversation. And a lot of people don't address some of the things that we address, probably because we get a little heavy sometimes. We do talk a little bit about the reality of, you know, religion. We get into a little bit into the reality of science, you know, creationism versus intelligent design, you know, some of the bigger issues like that.
Well, it's really interesting that we found that a lot of things that we talk about, because we did have, when we first started, our format was something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. And we would talk about historical misconceptions or things that people are taught that aren't necessarily correct. And so much of that, it's hard to find old stuff that isn't new stuff now, because it bleeds over so much, like the creationism and like a lot of the things that are coming up now with the church and government. It's something that people should be talking about now.
Yeah, I got my voting card, going to move to Kansas. I have to report to a church to vote.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you do here in Georgia as well.
Yeah. What happened to separation of church and state?
Yeah, it's always been strange.
They don't have schools? You can't vote at schools? There's like a school right next door to this church, and I got to report to the church to vote? Don't understand that. And this is, by the way, one of those mega churches with a Starbucks in it. Or I don't think it's actually Starbucks. It's like a Starbucks. And it's where my wife goes.
Wow, it has
They have a food court. They have a food court in the church.
Yeah, we have a church that has a mall attached to it. It's really ridiculous. And that's all tax-free land. You know, the reason why is because polling places are volunteer, and the school didn't put up enough volunteers, and enough people weren't willing to do the work there, which they should, but they don't. I mean, all the teachers could just go in and do it, but they don't. You know, the church, they put up the manpower and the space, and they don't, you know, charge, and, you know, so they get the power. And it's not necessarily because it's a church that you're forced to go there. You're just forced to go to whatever polling place actually has the volunteers and does the work. Churches do a good job of getting volunteers.
I got to get back to some of my questions so that you guys get a decent interview here. What can your listeners look forward to in the future?
Oh, boy. That's a good question.
Well, we did actually, I know what I've been looking forward to us doing, and I know we're going to do it. It has to be soon. Toward the beginning, we got together with the folks from Slacker Astronomy and some other people and participated in the Astronomy Podcast of Doom. We were thinking that we really wanted to do a creationism podcast forum. I won't say of doom because it's just a little ominous. But we've had almost everybody that we've been fortunate enough to interview on the show. It has an interest in creationism, you know, its history and, you know, its future and its current events. So we want to get a bunch of people together to discuss that, like in a roundtable forum.
Yeah.
So like, okay, let's not forget to tell our listeners where to locate your podcast and website.
That's www.skepticality.com.
Can you spell it for me?
No, because I don't have it in front of me. And if I try to, I'll sound like a fool.
S-K-E-P-T-I-C-A-L-I-T-Y. Right?
See, yes. He's been listening. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
It's funny because like one of our very first promos, because it was a promo and it was a new word, and I had Derek in the promo spell out the word skepticality, and promos that we've had other people do for us since they've done the spelling thing, and it's spelling things is something we do a lot for some bizarre reason, but I think it's funny.
Now, did you do a Google on skepticality before you put your show up?
Yep.
And yes, how many results did you get?
None.
Three. See, that's great because now you know everything that's there is because of you. When I did Podcast 411, there was zero results when
Holy
I did
crap.
The initial.
And now I just Googled us and the whole first page is us.
You guys have a very good sounding show. What are you doing for equipment-wise for your recording?
Well, if you ask me that, you know, our show should probably sound better than it does for the amount of equipment that we have.
Well, but it don't say that.
Tell me your hardware and software setup. Come on, spit it out. Listeners want to know.
I use an Electro Voice RE20 microphone with the shock mount and the whole deal and a half. The shock mount on the RE20 is a very heavy microphone. I don't know if you ever picked one up. But it's kind of one of those microphones you see a lot when you watch, like, you know, TV where they always show you, like,
dude,
IMS and stuff
like
that.
I was going to say, I think IMS uses your microphone. That's kind of scary.
It is kind of scary. But it's a pretty standard AM radio microphone. It's what I had when I worked on some of the stuff for ESPN radio. And the shock mount on the RE20, because it's so heavy, is really nice. And I'm a freak. And I pick up my microphone.
You are a freak.
By the bass stand, because I have a normal desktop stand. And so I'm constantly moving it around, and nobody can tell, because the shock mount's really good on the RE20, which is why I like it. And then, on Swoopy's side, she uses a KEL-1, which is a $100 microphone that sounds as good as mine.
It's the HM1.
It's the KEL-HM1, which sounds as good as this RE20 that costs like $600, but hers is only $90. So that gives you an idea how stupid you are to spend this much money on a microphone.
It's really sensitive.
You know, other people have mic envy of you.
Well, you know, actually, I think microphones are very personal. I would say ignore the cost, and if you really can go to a good high-end music store, ignore the cost and actually go through the microphones and pick the one that you like the sound of. If it's outside your price range, then put it on your wish list. But people's voices sound very different on different mics.
Because different voices resonate well with different microphones.
It's funny because Swoopy doesn't sound as good on my RE20 as she does on her HM1.
Well, I don't know if good or bad is, I just sound different because there's been a couple of times when I've done a whimsicality for ease of use because all the stuff is over on your side. We each have a G5, but Derek's got the board and everything on his side, so we don't even face each other. I can't even see him.
Yeah, we podcast back to back. Basically, she's on one side of the office and I'm on the other. Then I have a rack of equipment, all my Skype stuff and my audio interviews. When we do Skype interviews, it goes through a DBX compressor, and that adds a little more range to Skype, so it sounds a little more like a microphone than Skype. So it pulls out from the edges, especially since most of our guests are call guests, so we Skype out. Most of our guests do not have Skype or technology. They're book authors, people that work from home or an office, so we actually have to call telephones a lot. So we use a compressor to try to beef up the sound a little bit when we make telephone calls to people. And then we also have a gate, an AFX gate, and a DBX DDP processor for a vocal processor, and we use a Mackie 1220 mixing board, which is overkill, but that does FireWire straight into the Mac. So I can break out every single track that comes off the mixing board individually, pre-processed, and then I have the dual-processed full feed going in as well. So when we record, we get the full mix, and we also get each individual channel as well.
So software-wise, what are you using to edit then?
I use DSP Quattro to record our main mix feed, and at the same time, I can also use Motus, which is Mark of the Unicorn's digital producer. reducer, 4.5, if I want to record individual tracks at the same time as I'm doing my main mix. And then I also use DSP Quattro to do my post-process sound editing. Sometimes I use Soundtrack Pro, mainly because Soundtrack Pro does have a very good noise filter. Like if we're on a phone call, like if we do a Skype out and the person's got a strange noise in the background, like an air conditioner or a fan, Soundtrack Pro has a very nice tool to be able to pull out a particular noise if it's a repetitive noise, like a machine noise or a constant hum or hiss in the background. So I can do that to clean out a track. And then DSP Quattro, and then I also use a plugin that works for Soundtrack Pro or GarageBand or any, you know, plug-in compatible audio program on the Mac, which is called Final Plug. And that's what we do our RMS stuff with. And that's what Paul uses it on some of the stuff for IT Conversations and a few other places. So it's a really good RMS plug-in. And that, I think, is probably one of the most underperformed pieces of post-production done in podcasting. And if everybody just did an RMS filter on all their podcasts and nothing else, it would probably triple the sound quality on it.
Explain an RMS filter for those that don't know that.
It allows you to raise the overall loudness of your podcast while or a sound file, while also bringing up and limiting the sound at the same time. So you can set a threshold for, I want my quietest sound to be this loud, and I want my overall sound to be this loud, so it limits your dynamics. So all of your sound kind of falls in a very narrow band at whatever volume you want to put it at. So it allows you to have a constant rate of volume. So when people are listening to it, especially on little earbuds, if they set the volume to whatever they set it to for your entire show, it will be at that volume, no matter what dips and rises in volume people have. So if I laugh real loud or I go down and I whisper, the volume stays the same or relatively the same. Okay. You'd still be able to determine that it was a whisper or a loud laugh, but the range of the low volume and high volume would be very narrow.
Derek and Swoopy, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
Well, folks, that concludes that part of the interview with Derek and Swoopy from Skepticality. If you'd like to hear the bonus part of the interview, 22 minutes of new material that was cut and on the editing room floor and saved from the trash can at the last second, you can go head over to podcast411.com. Check for the show notes under the Skepticality logo, and that will take you to a link for the MP3 file where you can listen to the bonus part of the interview. And a lot of that is me ranting or we talking just about some strange things that didn't need to be in the first part of the interview, but are pretty interesting, or at least give you an insight to what it is that I make as a cut from material from an interview. Well, Derek and Swoopy, thank you so much for coming on the show. I highly recommend anyone who hasn't already subscribed to go ahead and subscribe to them at www.skepticality.com. And it should also be pointed out that they have a contest right now where they're giving away a 20 gig iPod photo. So head on over to skepticality.com and check out that contest and check out their podcast. Very well worth your listen. Well, at the end of today's podcast, we're going to play a promo from Nerd Blurb Podcast. Please stick around and listen to that. No other real news and notes. I think that's going to do it for us today, folks. Have a great one. As always, I'm your host, Rob, from Podcast 411, reminding you to listen different.
Welcome to Nerd Blurb. CEO of Google did confirm that they are working on a payment system.
Or as we like to call it, a G-Wallet.
G-Wallet.
The Force FX lightsabers.
Those things rock.
Wait, I have one here. We're going to record this.
If you guys could see this, you'd wet yourself.
I have very sensitive nipples. I end up getting ready, put bandages on my nipples, and end up going up that night. I start talking to some girl. She cut her finger. So she's bleeding from the finger. I start making my way to the bar. I was like, wait a minute, I'm a walking pharmacy. And so I gave her my bandage from my nipple.
Nerdblurb.com, a nerd-powered podcast.